Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yes. Hello, America. And that was indeed from 1965. That was Paul Harvey. You know, that's about 54 years ago. And, you know, it's amazing how that long ago and how everything is that way today. And it's actually getting worse, as Revelation and the whole Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen, folks. And so having said that, that's why we're here on the Politically Inconvenient Truth. That's the Pit Radio News. And we're here to basically just tell the truth, basically just show what is going on and have exposure to how bad it is and whatnot. And anyways, I am your host. My name is Glenn Atkinson here in Texas, and I have a co-host way up in North Dakota, Gary Rumor. Welcome, everybody, to the Pit Radio News, and introducing Gary Rumor from North Dakota. How is things up there? How are things up there?
Well, everything's pretty good. We have a blizzard today. I'm just kind of hanging tight here at home, staying warm here. And I got a new phone here, and everything, all the buttons are in little different spots, so I've been looking for the mute button. If I hit the wrong button, I'll disconnect. So I got to kind of look around, you know, not push them automatically like I did with the other phone because I was used to the other one. But other than that, I mean, everything's going good. I'm working on my income tax and stuff and my income and stuff to take to the accountant there and get all that figured out. And I guess it's just pretty much just the same old, you know, stuff like that. I just enjoying a little vacation here. I'm going to be going back to helping my cousin here hauling some corn here when the weather gets a little nicer and we can get the roads cleaned off. So other than that, everything's going well. And what's the weather like down there, my friend?
Well, it's a lot different than up there, that's for sure. We don't have blizzards or anything like that right now. It's sunny and it's you know, it's warm, but it is January. You know, the January and February and March, it tends to, it's colder here. It's weird. It's every other day it seems like it's a little warmer, then it gets cold, then it gets warm, then it gets cold. So that's been going on for the last week here. We just don't know, you know, it's unsettling, of course, but that's this time of year. Anyways, we got to deal with it no matter what we get, don't we? It's just the way it is.
Yep, that's the way it is, yep.
You got to dress accordingly no matter what, and even though you never know from one hour to the next it could change, but it is what it is, so we just kind of tough it out, right? But anyhow, we do have a guest, folks. This is Season 3 and Episode 2. Of the Pit Radio News, which, of course, as I mentioned before, the PIT stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. We have a guest that's an immigrant, and, you know, his name is, he's a doctor. You know, he came here many years ago. He'll explain a little more of his background. His name is Dr. Eric Tanjumankam. I think that's maybe how you pronounce it. I could be wrong. I apologize. But let's get right into this, and let's get into the meat and potatoes of everything here. And let's introduce Dr. Eric. Dr. Eric, can you correct me on your last name pronunciation, please?
Oh, you did a good job. It's Tanjumankam.
Okay. Thank you. So you're a legal immigrant, as I am, and then of course people know, they've listened to the show enough, they've listened to it enough to know that I'm from Canada. And can you give them a background of yours, like, you know, where you're from and you know, your transitioning, the time it took, and just give a background, if you can, about yourself and what you've accomplished and what you're in the process of doing, if you can, please.
Oh, Glenn, thank you. I'm really honored to be on the PIT Radio show. I like the fact that politically inconvenient truth is something that we need to keep pushing. Originally, I was born in Cameroon, that is in West Africa, and became a Christian at a very young age. I bring that up front because it has had a very tremendous impact on my life. And we're having this conversation because of that. In 1999, I moved to the capital city of Cameroon to do my master's in geology. And during that time, I went to a conference in 2001 when I was wrapping up my research to present a poster on what I was working on. As I sat in the audience, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly telling me that you are going to go to America to study. I was not having the money. I was not having the connections. And it was one of those things that I just had to come home and I told my wife, we're going to pray our way to the United States because we needed a miracle for that to happen. Now, all this background is very important. Because when I finally made it to the United States, I showed up with not enough money to pay my tuition, no scholarships, and there wasn't no help for me whatsoever. I remember the first day I went to the postal office to register for classes, and they required me to pay $4,000 back then as an international student, and I wasn't having that money. I went to the department and I asked them to help. They said, you know, we there's nothing we can do for you. And during all that time, I'm telling my roommates, you know, God is my sponsor. He asked me to come to this country. He's going to take care of me. But the things, you know, I had these problems. I needed money to pay my tuition. And that is when people started giving me ideas on what I need to do in the United States to be able to make ends meet. Some people told me, you know, you could just get married to some American and that will solve all your problems. You have a green card. You can then start working and going to school. Your tuition is going to be cut by half because, you know, you're going to qualify for institution. I said I was already married. That option was off of the table. The next one was that I should declare political asylum. I said, no, you know, I didn't run away from Cameroon. God asked me to come to this country. He was going to take care of me. They thought I was crazy. So God intervened. I got a teaching assistantship after the first semester, graduated with my PhD, still no green card. Got my first job in 2009, because of the economy, everything crashed, and I lost that job. And I was on H-1B visa, which meant technically, if I didn't do something, I was going to violate my status in the country. And what I did, unthinkable, in order to stay legal, I had to go back to school. Now, remember, I am having 4 kids at this time. I don't have a job, and I don't have the money to pay for tuition, but I had to obey the laws of the country. So I went and started an MBA, and I was paying the tuition on my credit card. One semester was $8,000 per semester. I went to school for a year. I'm not working, but I'm borrowing money on credit to pay to make sure I stayed in the country legally. But why would I do that? Why would I put myself under such constraint? Well, first, it's an issue of character. I need to obey God. I need to obey the laws of the country that I find myself there. It's a godly thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And I'm so excited that God finally came through for us, because in 2010, you know, I told my wife, if God wants us to stay in this country, he's going to have to come through. He's going to have to do something. Even if it means putting that green card in the mail and sending it to us, can God not do everything? We are, so we prayed. And in June of 2010, I received, my wife called me. I was out of the house. She told me, hold your breath. I received an email from Kentucky. So I had played the diversity lottery visa. It's a program in the United States where you put in your information. They randomly select people to give them green cards. I have been trying that since, that was my 13th year. And to show that God was involved in the process, I got selected. They mailed the letter. It came and went to the wrong address. They sent it back to Kentucky. Kentucky contacted me. And that is how we got our green card after 14 years. And now I have a testimony to share. You can do it right. It's necessary to do it right, because we need to build a country with people who understand the rule of law.
Wow, that's awesome. That is amazing. That's a great, great story. I know there's a lot more to it, but I thank you for sharing a lot of that. That's amazing. And, you know, you had a lot of trials and tribulations throughout that process by the sounds of it. And you stayed true to the rule of law. And, you know, that's what's remarkable about yourself and many others. But there's just so many that will try to go against the rule of law, or try to just do whatever they want to do, whatever they make up their own laws as they you know, they go and as they're here. You know, you had the choice of either going back or doing things to have progressed your stay and doing it legally. And that's what America is all about. Is you know, immigration's a great thing when you know, as long as we're doing the right thing within, you know, the laws that are there. Or if the government themselves will, you know, enforce the laws that are there. So it does make for a lot of confusion for people. But, you know, we, meaning yourself and me and other people that are like us, we don't just assume things. We go out there and try to find, through the confusion, we try and find the real truth, so we're doing the right thing. And I commend you for that. Gary, is there anything you'd like to lend, any question or anything like that, or any thoughts with regards to Dr. Eric and his journey and whatnot?
Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome you to the show, Doctor. Nice to hear from you. And I do wish you really good luck in your venture here. But I was raised here. I was born here in the USA. I was born in North Dakota. And I was raised here. And like I said, I was blessed in my life. You know, I had a good life. I'm married, have a wife and everything. And this country has offered a lot for me. You know, I mean, it's the freedom is one of the best gifts that you can ever have from God. And One thing, you know, I've noticed, and we are a loving country, by the way. You know, we do care about people. But one thing, you know, I get into arguments with, you know, political arguments with people. You know, they want just anybody coming in willy-nilly. Just coming in, doesn't matter if they're criminal or not. There's one person said we don't need to even vet people. I said, I don't want terrorists coming in here and people who want to kill people coming in here. I want them out of here. You know, I understand some people are coming in because they're escaping maybe socialism or communism, and they're coming in here because they want a life for themselves. And, of course, that always benefits the country when they want to better their lives. They're actually bettering the country, too, at the same time. But there's other people who want to Vulcanize our laws, who wants to change our country into something that they left. And that never made sense to me. And, you know, I this is one of the reasons I support the wall, and because I want to vet people coming in. Like somebody like you coming in, Doctor, and Glenn, you're trying to do it the right way. You have no intentions of ever hurting anybody or harming anyone. You want to make a better life for yourself. And I commend you on that. And what are your thoughts on these people coming in here trying to destroy our country? I mean, I know you probably agree with me, but what are your thoughts? What's your take on that?
That is a very good question, and I think I accepted to participate on this show today because there are certain things that I can say, and nobody is going to accuse me of being a racist, although that may, the word racism has morphed into, now I'm a racist for saying that people should do things the right way. I think human nature is something that is very difficult to change, and people do what they've been used to doing. To do what they know how to do, what they're familiar and comfortable with. And that is why it's a very dangerous precedent to reward people who come into the country and break laws. Do you know why a lot of people are fleeing to the United States? Because the laws in America work, and because those laws work, it delivers opportunities and freedoms to people. In some countries, you cannot give out credit because people are not going to pay and the system doesn't work. And systems that don't work, that there are no opportunities created, and people end up fleeing and going towards a direction where things work, we have to insist that everybody obeys the law. Because when you don't obey the law, the system is going to collapse. It's just that simple. I mean, here you go to Home Depot, you can go rent a truck and use it for an hour and bring it back. You can even do that in some countries. So just imagine the lack of opportunity because there's no trust. People are not trustworthy. And if somebody comes to the United States and they feel that, oh, we're just going to do an undo, do you think they're going to change? How are they going to change? They are strengthening that aspect of them that is used to breaking the law. It is a very bad precedent.
Well, you know, people coming in to break the law, yeah, it's terrible. And I'm going to tell you something. I heard this from another radio commentator, and I got to say this, but he said, do the Gates test. He said, on these socialist countries, you know, you go to like North Korea, you lift the gates up. People had the energy, they're trying to leave. And he said, do the Gates test in the U.S. of A. If we're such a rotten country, then how come everybody's trying to come in here? See, that's the thing. This is what baffles them. You know, this, that, there are people in there, they hate our country, and they bash our country. They make, you know, but look at, everybody's coming in there. If we're so bad, why are they coming in here? You know, that's a good question to ask. So, I mean, that's how you can answer the question like that. Just ask them that question. If this country is so rotten and so bad, how come everybody's coming in this country? You know, I mean, you'd think they'd be trying to get out. You know, but anyway, I'll ask this back to Glenn.
Yeah, that is a very good question, you know, and I've heard similar, you know, not in maybe so many words or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people said the same thing, you know, and that's why, like, people like Eric and myself, you know, we come here, and yeah, we know America's not perfect, and we know the world's not perfect, no one's perfect, we understand that, but that doesn't mean, when we come here to this country, you know, having, you know, talk with Eric. I mean, Eric's here in Texas too. We, you know, we've met a few times in person and that and whatever. We've done a YouTube video which is on the studio here. We can see, you know, you can link to it and whatnot. But anyhow, we've talked many times, and you know, doing the right thing, you know, in a country that, yeah, it's not perfect, but you still have to do the right thing. Even our Bibles tell us we still have to obey civil laws. And if we don't agree with the civil laws, we have to be part of a maybe a movement to basically maybe get back to the way of enforcing the law. If you know, if maybe they're not enforcing it, we have to be part of. We got to deal with what we got, but we're not here to just come here and we got to come here to assimilate, to basically, you know, basically conform to what's going on here. Because why are we coming here? If we're coming here, obviously to better ourselves and better this country. It's not just about us, but we're coming here. At least I know Eric and myself. We came here because God chose us to come here. We're compelled. So if that's the truth, which it is the truth, we're coming here to obey the laws. So if the country people are you know against this country. As you know, Gary and so many people, and we've all basically stated in a lot of ways. Then why aren't people trying to leave? Like and not just that, but then why are all these people trying to come if this is so bad? And the one reason I can think of why they're coming is because they want, you know, sure they say they want a better life, and there's a lot of people that do. But I think a lot of reason is they come here to bring their own tyranny. You know, they come here to bring their own troubles and not to assimilate or conform. They come here to basically you know, to make America in a worse state than it was the day before. And that has to be vetted to get to understand that. Now, mind you, you know, we have to have these processes in place to find out who is coming to hurt or harm or to help or whatnot this country. That's, you know, no plan is 100% perfect, but we can't leave it like an open wound and pouring acid into the wound like it's happening right now. We have to enforce it. We have to make sure that our wound is protected and cleaned up. Because this is what it is. We have a major, major crisis here. And if people are trying to come here to harm this country, they need to be checked out before they get checked in. That's the thing. It's just one of those things. So having said all that, you know, great discussion, guys. And you know, everyone can join us here on the Pit Radio News, and you can call in very easily. Just call in 646-787-8534. Again, that's 646-787-8534. And just please press 1 if you have a comment or question about this topic that we have going on here with the immigration and whatnot, and any other topic we ever have. You know, you're free to join us. It's a family show. It's a godly show. We want to make sure everybody's speaking correctly without profanity, of course, and we have debates. We don't have arguments. We want to basically welcome everybody to come on here and share their thoughts and everything, and just join in the discussion. If you have any questions, like I said, with for Dr. Eric or Gary or myself, feel free to call us. Again, you know, just call us 646-787-8534 and press 1, and I'll see your kind of like a little question mark on there, and then I'll be able to get you on here to end the discussion. So having said that, Eric, I have a question for you. I mean, we've talked, like I said before, we've talked ourselves over the phone and in person, and we've done videos together and whatever, so I know some of these answers, but it's for the guests too, of course. Now, you know, you mentioned about the illegals and whatever have you, and we were talking about the you know, Gary was mentioning about the wall and having that barrier there and whatnot. Okay, what are your thoughts over the many years? Like, it's been 12 and a half years for me. So this July will be 13 years since I first stepped, you know, foot on Texas soil here. And so you've been here for a little longer than I have. And it took you 14 years to get your green card. My process has been longer as far as a lot of the stuff that leading up to the green card. But yours is still it's disheartening to see how long it takes for people that are here doing the right thing, and then they kind of like give you an express lane for the people that are here illegally, it seems. So having said that, with all these people coming across the border, like Gary was saying, and you know, and whatnot, I really want to know what you think, what are your thoughts about what you would do as far as correcting what is going on right now. What are your thoughts about different things that you would do? You know, knowing what you went through and whatever, and I have my own thoughts, and I know what yours are, and they're the same as mine. But I want you to share yours as an immigrant coming from the outside in and seeing your process, and then seeing all these illegals coming across and being invited over. What is your remedy for this, Eric?
That is a very good question, and something that seems is eluding the politicians, and nobody seems to have the courage to, except President Trump. He's been fighting tooth and nail. I'm shocked that you have sanctuary cities in the United States. Now, the Bible is clear. It says that woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who call evil good and good evil. That is what is happening right now before us. Those that are obeying the law, that are being shunned, nobody wants to listen to them. There is a type of lawlessness that is being propagated in the country. And I think it's highest time all Americans wake up, because lawlessness is going to stand behind and bite all of us. When we encourage laws to be broken, when we encourage both God's laws, natural laws, and even the laws that the government has imposed to be broken, it's not a good idea. So I think there are three possible solutions that I've written about it. I have a book out there that I've written and proposed solutions. The first one is to deport everybody that is illegally. I don't really think that is very feasible, because it's a little complicated. Some of them have kids and all that. And so the solution there is to make sure these people acknowledge that they committed a crime, that it is wrong for them to come to the United States and overstay their visas or just to sneak in. We have to give them a penalty to pay. And if we want to discourage people from doing that type of a thing in the future, we may tell these people, yeah, you're going to be here legal, you're going to have a green card and everything, but, you know, there's no path to citizenship, you know, because you decided to sneak in, you went through the back door. That can be a way to discourage people from trying to take advantage of the laws of the country in the future. But before we even do that, we need to secure the border. We need to make sure we vet who comes in and who goes out of the country. That is very, very important. In 1996, there was an amnesty that was passed, and they said they were going to secure the borders. They never did. We are back to square one. It was a very bad idea to give a blanket amnesty to people. When you do that, what are you going to tell those of us and other people that came here and sacrificed a lot to make sure they obey the laws and did it the right way? I remember when I was filing for my citizenship, I put in my paperwork a month earlier than I was supposed to do. I got hammered in that they rejected the application and I had to pay the fee. I'm talking about thousands of dollars. I paid that fee two times. Why are they so hard on those people that are trying to do it right? Why are they so hard on those that are trying to obey the law? I had to do all my vaccines, did medical checkups and all that. How can you just turn around, open the gates? Yeah, everybody come in. And when you're telling people that, oh, we need to know if somebody has a disease, they get treated so that we're all safe, people think they're being racist. No, some of us have gone through the eye of the needle. We did it right. I think when we talk about justice and equality, everybody should be treated the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I totally agree with that. You know, I've heard you say that so eloquently before, and you know, it's so true. It's really it almost makes you want to pull your hair out when you think of all the stuff you go through, and then you know they're making it so difficult for legals, and they're making it so much easier for illegals. And it comes down to, I've said this for years and years, and I've heard other people say it, and that is, it comes down to if they get illegals here, I don't know what the percentage is, but I know it's in the 90s. It has to be that if they get here and they're illegals and they're you know, they come over here, and the easier time that they have it, the more they're going to vote for the Democrat liberal side of things, because they are one of those ones that, you know, I've said this before, where if you give a man a fish, he'll eat today. if you teach men how to fish, you'll eat every day. And basically in this case, what that means to me is that you give someone, handing it out, that means you basically have them under your thumb because they have to keep going to you. But if you teach people like immigrants, legal immigrants, to do things the right way, they're going to be on their own. They're not going to have to be needed from the government for money or welfare or whatever have you. And so therefore, those in the high 90s are going to typically vote for your Republican conservative because they understand that they get here legally. You know, they get here the right way. It took some labor. It took some work. It took money. It took, you know, but it wasn't other people's efforts as much as your own. And that's what I think is the biggest problem here is these liberals and Democrats, they want to cry and say, oh, you know, look what you're doing. Look how hard you are on these people. You know, you guys are so humane. Well, you know, what I'm having an issue with, as I know you both are too, and I'll let you guys share your opinions and thoughts on this, when you have people that are here that are being killed, and these are even legal immigrants that are being killed by illegal aliens, what about the families of them that are left behind that they cannot get that person back? But yet the liberals, Democrats, they'll cry, oh, well, look how humane inhumane you are against these people come here that are undocumented. Well, look, you know, they have families, they're going through a lot, and I don't take away from that. I don't. I have no problem with someone coming over here, and I feel for these people. We have a heart. You know, Gary and I have talked over this many, many times. We have a heart, and I know Eric does. We have a heart. We do want people coming here that are legal, that are, you know, they're having problems with their countries and whatever and issues that are going on. They're political and you know, they need asylum. Or, I get that. I totally get that, and I have no problem with that. I just want them to be vetted. But the biggest problem is until we make sure that these are the right ones coming into the country. So having said that, it's not about that we don't want anyone coming in here and we have no heart as far as a country or as an individual or as Republicans, conservatives, independents, or whatever have you, libertarians or whatever. It's not about that. It's all to do with being secure, and it's also we don't want people coming in here for the sole fact that it's a political issue that people want their votes. That's not how a country is, a democracy is run. First and foremost, the job, if you will, the most important job of this President Donald J. Trump we have, which is doing a great job, his number one job is security, to keep this country secure and you know, protect it. And all these Democrats that have said over the years, years ago, they said they wanted to have the wall. They wanted to have a barrier. They said, illegal aliens, they're this or that. Well, now all of a sudden, since Donald Trump become the candidate and now the president, they've changed all their ways, because even in Obama's ministry, they were talking about barriers and walls and funding. Even matter of fact, they even were about to pass five times the amount of what Donald Trump's asking for. So it's not about the money so much as it is about a political, hijinks is what they want, is to actually get people here that will vote for them so they can turn this country into a socialistic, communistic country without walls, open borders, and that's what they're really, really wanting. But they're painting a picture to make it look like it's inhumane of what we're doing. But see, they're not going to win because we serve an awesome God that knows that, you know what? He is a respecter of what we do. No one wants a lazy person that wants to just come here and basically live off of other people's money, you know, because that's what happens. And if sooner or later you run out of other people's money and you become a very, very, very bad, a socialistic, communistic country, and none of it has ever worked in any other country before. So I get what they're trying to do, and so are a lot of people. We're on to them. And that's why Donald Trump is standing pretty darn firm in everything he's trying to do to make this country secure again and great again, because he wants to make sure that everybody here that come here or is born here that is legal and they're doing things the right way. And I have no problem with that. What do you think about that, Gary? And then we'll go over to Eric. You can pass it on to Eric.
Well, you're exactly right, but I, you know, there's actually two reasons why why the Democrats want these illegals come in. First of all, you know, they were for the wall, but the primary reason, you know, they hated Trump, and anything Trump did, they were against. And I think the second and probably the most important reason, maybe I should put that one number one, but the main reason, they didn't think Trump was going to win. They thought Hillary had it. And they were all
right.
Stunned when Donald Trump won. And they now, they're looking for votes. The Democrat Party is not a loving party. They'll pretend. They'll talk lovingly in talks, but they're actually a very vicious party. I call them the party of the KKK, the party of slavery. They're the party that caused a lot of turmoil in this country, a lot of violence. There never been a party for liberty and freedom. And anybody did a little study on what socialism was like and communism, it's a deadly agenda. Communism has killed so many people. If you look at what Stalin did, I mean, over 10 million people killed, murdered by a regime like that. And that's what we're trying to avoid. And the thing is, what's so sad in this country, a lot of these college professors and high school teachers, they're teaching that socialism is this wonderful thing. It's presented, you know, they window dress it. They present it as it's wonderful and all this. And it may even work on paper. But when you get down to calculating human behavior, it fails every time. There's 40 countries that went hardcore socialism, and every country failed because they did this. Socialism is so degrading to the human spirit. And I don't know, I know where you came from, Africa. I don't know if you've had any experience in socialism, Eric. But you could probably explain to the listeners, and this is why I want to turn it to you. I kind of led into this. Explain to our listeners what the real evils of socialism is and what happens when you, say, disagree with your government. What does the government do? They punish you for condemning the government? I mean, are you controlled like that? Are you basically a slave over there in Africa? I mean, do they tell you you got to do it this way or else you go to jail or even worse? Do they execute or kill people? Just give us a little information. Since you're here now and you're safe and, like I said, you're going to be protected in our country, we protect our citizens. I'm glad that we have a country like this. You know, this is the best country. We're not arrogant. We're just, like I said, we're proud, and we want to protect people. We want the whole world to follow our example. But anyway, tell us what you experience, and tell us what socialism is really like.
So who has beseeched America to be tempering on a path of no return? I've been telling people, you don't know what you have here until you lose it. As I speak to you right now, my parents are refugees in my country. I'm not kidding. My father was retired. He fled. He's living somewhere else right now because the country is in turmoil. We have a president there that was president when I was in second grade. I'm talking about 1982. The guy hasn't left. He rigs all the elections. He's ruined the country. The government controls 80% of the economy, which means that he appoints right down to the headmasters or the principals of the schools. Everything is under the control of one individual. If you don't kiss up to him, you cannot make any progress in the country. Because of that, the natural resources have been squandered. There's bribery. There is corruption. There's mismanagement. People are dying left and right. The country is in turmoil. Is that what America wants? No freedom?
Good point.
You can't drive around. I mean, I've had more freedoms in America than the country I was born in. I get in my car. I've driven up to North Dakota. I've driven to New York. I've driven to California. I've driven all over the country. No problem. No problem. You can't do that in Cameroon where I was born because the police are harassing you. It's just, you know, it's so I don't understand what has blinded people's eyes. Big government. Government is not God and will never be. When the more we make the government big, the more we lose control and our freedoms because we're sacrificing it at the altar of another human being who has an agenda to control and usurp our power. America better wake up. Socialism is evil. You know, they kick against, they start by, you know, replacing God with the state. It's a big failure. And that is why some of us who come to this country, we believe in God. I don't believe in government taking care of me. I'm taking care of me because I walk by faith. God is my source. I'm not on government handouts. That is a huge difference. And when people, you know, people like to receive and depend because they relegate control to other people to control them so they can blame them. It's a bad idea. Pray for Cameroon.
Well, it's very said. Very well said. And I admire you for that. And you just keep up the fight and keep up the good work. And if you have a, I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but if you are, send me a friend request, and I would sure be honored to have you add you on. And anyway, as well, I can't top that. You did really an excellent answer, and I'll turn this back over to Glenn.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Gary. He did an it was amazing, very well articulated answer to your question with socialists and whatever have you, because you know you're hearing it. Folks, you're hearing it, you know, firsthand from someone that, that left a country like that and came here legally to do the right thing. And the process was done correctly. So, you know, it can be done. It is being done. It's just that he is not looking for a handout. He's looking for, he was looking for a hand up in this country, and he was, and now he's done so, and he's helping out this country. He's really, you know, he's got some degrees and masters and different, you know, he's a doctor, he got a doctorate, you know, he's got a lot of things that he's done to offer this country before he came and as he's been here. So he does not take from the government, he actually gives back, and that's how it's supposed to be done. And that's not socialism, folks. That's the opposite of socialism and communism and whatever have you. You know, he is an independent here. In other words, not basically, you know, grabbing the skirt, you know, of someone else saying, you know, help me. He's helping himself and he's helping other people at the same time. You know, sure, we all need a hand up. We all need a help and whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
And things we're going through. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, he's not totally relying on everybody. You know, he's basically one person that's actually doing the right thing with what he's got, and what he has to offer is a lot to contribute, to add to, not take away from this country. So you know, so right on, good on you for that. You know, that's the way it should be done. And folks, you can join us here on the Pitt Radio News, the Politically Inconvenient Truth. That's what the Pitt stands for. Call us at 646-787-8534. Again, 646-787-8534, and press 1 if you have a comment or question, and we'll surely get you in the roundtable here of discussion. And you know, like I said, it's just it's the people's show. It's for people that are listening and want to contribute in any way they can. That's what we're here for. It's all about the truth, and it's often politically inconvenient to tell the truth, but it's still the truth. So, having said that, I was going to say. We also have something that's been in the news over the last couple of days that, you know, Gary, you mentioned too about Roger Stone. And this is basically mm-hmm. another thing that the government has been doing with their, you know, trying to control. See, he's another one that since 1979 has a lot of people aren't aware of, but Roger Stone has been a friend and a very, very close friend and of Donald J. Trump, our president, since 1979, through President Reagan, they met, and so you know it's 2019, so we're going on the full 40 years of him being affiliated, and actually a lot of people aren't understanding, but Roger Stone, a little background of him is he was Donald Trump's first campaign manager. And so, therefore, you know, he's been an advisor for Donald Trump for decades, and you know, so you know, they're going after Roger Stone like they have with other people. I think he's what the seventh one now that they've actually indicted. Yeah, it is the seventh one they've indicted on different things, and the first six have caved in and somewhat to some degree, and basically, you know, tried to bargain with these people. And he's saying, I'm telling the truth, so I'm not going to give them something that's not the truth. So no matter what it is, I'm going to stand firm, stand just like Donald Trump is, and he's not going to sell out our president for something of any lies or whatever. He's just going to stand firm. He knows he has a battle. But the background with him was a couple of days ago he was, he had a raid at his house in Florida. And, pre-dawn. And CNN happened to be right there. I mean, there's a leak mm-hmm. there where CNN happened to know what happened before even his lawyer knew. I mean, that before Roger Stone's lawyer even knew, CNN knew about it. So there's a leak there. And, you know, they got him on, I think it's like, with 6 or 7 so-called indictments or whatever have you, about lies and all that stuff. And the bottom line is that's all a bunch of bogus charges and indictments, whatever. But at the same time, it has nothing to do with this, with Donald J. Trump, our president, then candidate or now president, and that has nothing to do with him. There's no collusion. There's no nothing to do with Russia. I mean, this is what they've been trying to do with all these people, and him included. So, you know, the hammer came down on him the other day, and you know he's out on a bond. But there's a lot of things that, having a chat with him on Tuesday about all this, if you will. And it's just political, all political, and it's nothing to do with what he's done. It's just they make up things, they fabricate things, and as many times they can get it out there for people to hear it, people start believing it because they say, well, you know, you hear it over and over and over again. A lot of people get sucked into that drama and think that it's the truth. Well, where I come from, and I know you guys have both said the same thing in not so many words, but the truth is still the truth whether someone wants to hear it or not. So therefore, mm-hmm. if you're telling the truth and they don't believe it, you can go around and spread all the lies and people start believing that's the truth. That's why there's all this confusion and chaos and corruption in this whole world, let alone just America. But we don't, you know, we cannot be bullied and should not take being bullied. We take it seriously. In other words, we don't crack, we don't bend, we don't shake, because if you do, then they're the ones controlling you. And this is why we have a government of corruption that our president has been doing so well and getting more and more to drain the swamp of getting rid of the corruption as much as he can. And I'll tell you, he's doing a fantastic job for the last 2 years. He even started doing stuff before he even was inaugurated. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of this happen, but Roger Stone is another one of the ones that had the hammer go down on him. And so what are your thoughts about all that, Gary?
Well, I tell you, I think it's a witch hunt. Like I said, they're trying to get rid of Donald Trump. They're trying to get him out. There's a lot of hate there. And, the thing is, it's different, you know, like when other presidents like Clinton, I mean, when he got elected, nobody was talking about impeachment until he started doing this stuff. You know, they used it like in the second term because he lied under oath, and that was already proven, which is a felony. And, of course, people in power seem to get away with that stuff. And look at with Donald Trump, when he got elected, they already talked about impeachment that night because they were so shocked that Hillary lost. They're already talking about impeaching him. See, that's how much they hate him. So now they're trying to bring in, you know, trying to bring down anybody else. What they do is they threaten them with prison time. And, of course, only the prosecutor can make deals. And they say, well, they'll probably say, well, if you testify against Donald Trump, if you testify, we'll probably let you off the hook, see. And it's a tactic that prosecutors really, they shouldn't be allowed to do it, but they're doing it. And I guess they're allowed to do it by law. And I guess maybe person should probably change the law so they can't use these type of intimidation tactics. If we did that, we'd be going to prison. We can't do that. But the prosecutors, federal prosecutors, seem to can do that. The best advice, the only mistake that Roger Stone made, he probably should have had an attorney right away and never said a word to him. He said, I want to talk to my attorney, and then that way he had some representation, you know. And because this way, I mean, He spoke out, you know, told the truth. I do believe he told the truth. And you're friends with him, Glenn. We both talked to him already, you know. And he doesn't, maybe some people think he's outrageous. I don't think he is. He says what he thinks. And maybe that sounds outrageous, but some people don't want to hear that. Alex Jones is the same way. I don't think he lies, but there's a lot of people think he does, see. And they're trying to bring Alex Jones down, too. But he speaks the truth. It's probably stuff that people don't want to hear. And if you know the left-wing media, if you want to see stuff that's outrageous, they lie. You know, like the NBC, CBS, CNN, ABC, all these news agencies, they're basically based in propaganda. And of course, Donald Trump called them fake news, and that's what they are. And you can't stop them because they have First Amendment rights, and this is the power of the First Amendment. We can also debunk them. We can call them fake news, and that's protected by the First Amendment too. And we can debunk them. And I do believe this is my stance on it. The truth always wins out. Like I said, you have faith in God. You tell the truth, and when you tell the truth, it will win out. You know, if Roger, and I hope he's telling the truth. I think he is. I don't know 100% certain about anything. I wasn't there, but if he's telling the truth, he should be fine. Now they have had bogus prosecutions too, because you got a corrupt government, and of course Donald Trump is trying to drain the swamp, but that's not an easy task. And I don't think they'll be able to get it, get all the corruption out, even in two or three presidential terms. You know, I don't think we're going to live long enough to see it completely gotten rid of. But we can get rid of some of it, because when you have corruption in there like this, this is the result of it. You're going to see innocent people being prosecuted, you know. Sure, the guilty ones can get away. Look at Hillary got away. She lied, and that was pretty obvious. She did delete emails. She didn't even deny that. You know, she had this catch-me-if-you-can smug attitude about it. They never did prosecute. They're scared of him, you know. And what the Clintons did, they did this when he was the president. He'd have some of these people call up their families, you know, like the prosecutor, and says, "Do you love your kids?" and say stuff like that. And they'd ask some questions. Of course, the prosecutor would back up, thinking of something might happen to the kids, see. And that's what the Clinton tactics were like. And they're still like that. They're as evil as can be. And like I said, we may never get them prosecuted, but like I said, I do believe there is a God, and a God will never misjudge. God is the only perfect figure, you know, there is. He's perfect, and he'll never, like I said, they will be properly judged someday. We're like, all of us will be, but like I said, do your best, be a good citizen, you know, be honest, and if you're being honest, you should be okay. But like I said, my advice, what they do is they drain out the money. This is what the government does. They'll go after, keep going after. It's like a form of harassment, and you have to keep paying a lawyer, and pretty soon your bank account's drained, and then they're hoping that people like Roger Stone will fold and then lie and tell them what they want to hear. He won't do it. I hope he stands up. I hope he doesn't buckle under that, because that's what they're attempting to do. See, I can see that. No, I was trained in law enforcement, so I know a little bit what I'm talking about here, because I know some of the tactics that people do use. It's not right, but they do use it. So anyway, I'll turn this back over to Dr. Eric there.
Yeah, it's well, you articulated it very well. We are slowly turning America into another third world country where laws don't work, where the strong and the rich and the powerful act with impunity, and that is the very reason why those economies are not functioning well, and people are fleeing those places. The judiciary system that was supposed to be independent in this country, people have allowed it to start running the show in a way that was not meant to be like that. People can just, you know, just make up laws at their whim. The president will pass orders, and a single judge in the middle of nowhere will just get up and challenge the law, challenge the president's order like that. So it's I think they need to put the judiciary under check. If not, we are on a very slippery slope, because some of the atrocities that Hillary committed, and she's still running around, is very unfortunate. What message are they sending to the rest of the country? That some are above the law and some are not? It's very unfortunate. And this witch hunt of the president is unprecedented. People were demonstrating after he won the election. It doesn't make sense at all. And I think goodwill Americans will wake up. The country is about to be destroyed if we don't do something. Everybody needs to get their hands on deck and make sure that we hold those on the left that have gone crazy, we hold them accountable because they're trying to ruin this country. They want to create anarchy and so that a strong man can rise up. We've seen what strong men have done all over the world in most of the African countries. We have so much power concentrated in the hands of one person, you end up with a disaster. Can you imagine a president in Cameroon now for you know, since 1980? He was prime minister in 1976. He's been in power for, you know, can you imagine? There's nobody that is indispensable. And that has just ruined the country. That's not the only country in Africa that are having issues, you know. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It is. It's terrible what the government is doing to the people. And you know, you both have mentioned, you know, big government. That's the big problem, is because there's too many people's hands in their pot, and they want to make sure that they have control of everyone. And that's not right. And again, you know, back to the Roger Stone. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to take Trump down. And the biggest part is that they hate Trump more than they want to do anything for this country. You know, that's sad, you know, when you think of it, that they want to actually, they hate Trump that bad that their hatred is getting in the way of really doing the right things for this country. And that's what we have, a process, and that is, we, you know, he was voted in, and he's just trying to fulfill his campaign promises, and that's what they don't like. And that's why they didn't want him in here. So they're trying to take him down by using forces of other people like Roger Stone. And, you know, you mentioned real quickly, Gary, that that I'm a friend of Roger Stone. Yes, my wife and I met Roger Stone in 2015, the year that candidate Trump announced his candidacy. And you know, we got to know him in person. You know, I'm here in Texas. And we got to know him very, very well. On many occasions, we've met with him in person, of course. We've talked to him over the phone, and we've had him on radio shows and stuff like that, whatever. So, you know, I got to know him very, very well. And, you know, I know he's not what the people are saying he is, because he was saying things back in 2015 before they were even coming out. These were stuff that he was sharing with Lisa and I, my wife and I, that, you know, he didn't have to, and he trusted us because he knows my story, he knows my background, that I'm here to help America. I'm not going to, you know, I'm a confidential type of person, as you come to know, Gary, and whatever, and Eric, too. But he knew it right off the bat. You know, this guy, he's 66 years old. Now, back then, he was, like, 62. But anyways, so he knows. He's a very shrewd, very, 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 he can read people very well. And he read us, that he knew that he could trust us with some information that he was telling us before it was even out there. And so we knew, and you know, and we knew, and of course I didn't say nothing, because I'm not going to say something because I don't want to betray him, but also it was to do with Donald Trump and what was going on with different things, and so he was letting us know some things in advance, and that was also to establish a trust with him too, you know, letting us know certain things, and so therefore, you know, all these things that they're trying to get him on, if you will, it's just a pattern of what they've done with many, many people, and some people, you know, they cave, you know, that they cave because for whatever reason. But Roger Stone is a very strong personality and can stand up for himself. And just as he said about myself, you know, he said, what you've went through, he says, you know, it's amazing. You never blipped. You never blinked. And I said, I won't. And it's the same thing with Eric. He you know, he didn't with his situation. And I know you very well, Gary. I've known you for many years now, and you're very consistent with what you're standing for yourself. And that's why we need people to have shows like this. And there's a lot of them out there like that. And you know, we get different newscasts that are completely the opposite. You know, they want to spread all this. What you said also was fake news. We just want people to know the truth and let them decide with what we're giving them is the truth, you know, and that's all. And that's what Roger Stone is trying to do. So it is what it is, and he's going to stand firm. And, you know, it's cost him a lot of money to have, you know, over the last, you know, couple of years of all this trouble that they've put him through. You know, he's pretty much almost bankrupt, if not bankrupt. You know, he had to even basically cut off his life insurance. He couldn't pay the premiums. I mean, different things like that he had to stop to do, because, you know, there's just so much more. But that's what happens. I know when I came to this country, I had some money, but it quickly went away when certain things happened that they, you gotta pay for certain things, and when they start adding things to you that shouldn't be added to it, you know, that's what they try to do. They try to get you where the money. And see, Donald Trump knows this. President Trump knows that that's what you do. That's how we took down ISIS. You know, you chop them off at the money. And that's, see, and that's the thing is, and this is what he's trying to do with all this other stuff is he wants it to be an even playing field out there, and people that are hoarding all this money off of other people's whatever efforts and whatever else they're doing. No, he doesn't want that. You know, Donald Trump could have been his net worth of like $10 billion, but he could have had like hundreds of billions. He could have been like a George Soros if he was not truthful, not honest, devious, you know, plotful, all these things. No, he could have had a lot more, but he chose to do it and build it the right way, his own businesses, and just what he's trying to do with country is to make it great again by building it up, with draining, you know, all that swamp and weeding out all this stuff that's going on, and the corruption, of course. So, you know, Roger Stone is another, you know, not casualty, but, you know, if you will, they're trying to make him a casualty of this, whatever, just to get to Donald Trump and to have other people see that, oh, see, there's another one that also, it must be true, that Donald Trump's really bad and is all this collusion, but yet nothing that he's done or they're accusing him of, I should say, that's wrong, that has nothing to do with Donald Trump even. So, you know, it's supposed to be this this collusion investigation, this, you know, this Mueller investigation to do with Donald Trump. But yet, what they're doing is they're going down different roads. It's not even on the same road. And but they know that if they can get a lot of people to see that, oh, see, that's another friend of Donald Trump's. Oh, well, then he's got to be bad. Well, people are wising up to it because we have folks that are actually seeing both sides of it. When I say both sides, there's one side that's the truth and one side that's not. But I'm saying that there's Fox News, there's One American News Network, there's these radio shows like this. You know, better. What's that, Gary?
Tucker Carlson's a good one to listen to. If you listen to Tucker Carlson, he brings both sides on. And but he's quite conservative, and I believe he's real honest. I know he is. You know, and they tried to get him too, but he didn't. He didn't buckle either, and he's still on the air. They're trying to take us, everybody, off the air now. That's on our side. See, and that tells you the real liars try to silence the truth. But anyway, I'll let you conclude because we're getting up to the top of the hour, and I got to get us something to eat here too. So,
okay, yeah, you're right. And the thing is, even with these, I wear them myself. The MAGA hats, Make America Great Again hats. You know, they have all that stuff going on where they're pinning that to Donald Trump and as if it's a racist thing. I mean, Bill Clinton himself said the term "Make America Great Again." So did Ronald Reagan. But then they never went around calling him racist. You know what it is because actually Donald Trump made something of that to actually help this country. That's why they're making it a racist statement. Because everything has to go back to racist. Everything has to go back to their everybody else is wrong. And they push that narrative and push that narrative until enough people they think are getting it to where, oh, that it must be the truth. Well, no, we're, like you said, Tucker, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, all these people, there's many more that are on Fox and other you know radio stations, newspapers, and you know blog talk radio like this is or any other radio station. We are all working for the truth here. So, you know, you're very right. You know, that's what they're trying to do. Gary, you're so right. They're just so corrupt, and they want more and more to bring this president down. But what they're doing actually is the more people that they have to run against him is actually going to expose more of themselves because they're all going to be fighting against each other to get to that podium to basically have their run against Trump. And they're going to tear themselves down. So the more the merrier. I think it's great because you're going to have Donald Trump's going to have less defense when against him. He'll have more tools, I should say, for to help him to prove how bad they were, just like they did in the last to go round when he had 17, and then Hillary. You know, it spoke for itself a lot of times. He just kept repeating the truth over and over again. That's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, you know, I want to thank you very much, Eric, for coming on. You know, you have an remarkable background. I think that You are an asset to this country, and I just pray that more and more people listen to this your testimony with this, and some people know mine, and I just want to make sure that we have people coming across the border that are here for the right reasons to help this country and not hurt it, and I commend you for doing such, and I really thank you. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to say, Eric, about everything that you're witnessing or what you'd like to share with us, maybe your website or whatever? That'd be great.
I think it's divine providence. I'm writing a book on racism right now, hopefully wrapping that book up today. And I'm just, because we have just been bombarded by that word to the extent that it's crippling our ability to move ahead as a nation. And somebody needs to say something from a different perspective. Racism cannot be used. Hopefully we'll do a program on racism one of these days. Racism is not big enough to cover the issues of the heart that people have, of hatred, of anger, of resentment, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of greed. And so we need to look at it at that level and stop pretending that the color of somebody's skin, it's enough motivation to mistreat people or put them in the sitting category. We've been sold a lie. We mm-hmm. need to stand up and begin to renounce it, because racism is a boogeyman. It's a facade. It's not real. So,
mm-hmm. Well said.
Oh, I agree. Thank you. Very well said. Can you share with us, with the folks here, the listeners, your website and the website you have, and maybe the names of your books that you've had, and again, just reiterate the name of your new book that you're going to be finishing today about racism. If you can just kind of share that with people, that way they can know where to go to get that, and read and listen and watch your YouTube or whatever have you. Just kind of share that with us if you can, please.
Okay, thank you. I have about 4 books on Amazon right now. The first one is, so if you type my name, Eric Tangumonkem, on Amazon, you're going to have all the books that I've written. My last name is spelled Tangumonkem. Sorry for my voice as well. I lost my voice this weekend, so I usually don't sound like this. So the first book is Coming to America, A Journey of Faith. The other one is Why I Chose Not to Become an Illegal Alien. And the other one is 7 Success Secrets I Learned from My Dad. And the last one is Make Yourself at Home. It's a guide to new immigrants on how to get integrated in the life in the United States of America. Diversity ideas are ruining this country. I am in for the melting pot model, where if you think America is good enough to attract you, you should get along with the program and don't come to America and try to change it into whatever place you fled from. And so if you check on Amazon, you're going to get those books. If you check on Facebook, if you want to connect with me, Eric Tangumonkem on Facebook as well. On Twitter, my Twitter handle is Tangumonkem. Also, I'm found on Instagram. If you search on Instagram, you'll find me as well, so we can get connected. So I post stuff every day, inspirational type post, harboring on many different issues, immigration, business, leadership, personal growth and development, spirituality, and things like that.
Very well. That's
okay.
Awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that. I love it. Thank you again, Dr. Eric Tangumonkem. We really appreciate you coming on here with your amazing story, your background, and with what you're working on now. Thank you for that. And I want to also thank you, Gary, for, as usual, being a great co-host with us here. And we also want to thank you, America, for joining us here at the Pitt Radio News, Pitt standing for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. And you can join us next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can call us at 646-787-8534. Again, it's 646-787-8534, and you can press 1 if you have a comment or question. We'd be just love to get you on here. We're going to end the show, as always, with, you know, it's a little bit of hard work, you know, by Paul Harvey. And, you know, co-host Gary and Dr. Eric and myself, you know, we're not shy of hard work. We love it. It actually made something of us, you know. So we're not lazy. We just want to try to do the right thing. And there's a lot of people that do. But I always end the show. Well, you know, we end the show with hard work because we just find that we just need to have that, and there's not enough of it around. And so therefore, we will end the show with some hard work by Paul Harvey. And we thank you all. God bless you, America, and join us next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the Pitt Radio News. Thank you very much for joining us.
American preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.